You're listening to Don't IEP Alone with Special Education Advocate Lisa Leitner. For more information about Lisa, the IEP Toolkit, and more ways we can help you in your process, go to adayinourshoes.com. Now back to the show with your host, Lisa.
Hey there, Lisa Leitner here, and today I just wanted to give you a brief overview of how to organize your IEP paperwork. It's a lot, I know, and especially if you get several drafts. I just hit the floor. That's okay, I'm going to explain it to you anyway. But it's a lot of paperwork, and how you organize your IEP paperwork can actually help you be a better advocate, believe it or not. So first, I wanted to share this with you because, and I'll show you why. Okay, this, look at this. You see that cute little baby? Isn't he adorable? That is my son. My son has been receiving services since he's 6 months old. And as you can see, this is a notebook and this is paperwork. And in here, I have a planner. And if I hold it up, you can see it's from 2007. So for over a decade, and actually, so basically what I'm trying to tell you here is that this is like my prototype for the IEP planner. This is not something that I just came up with and, you know, threw it out there to sell to parents. This is something that I have been working on for over a decade. Because you can see in here, I have folders and I have dividers and I have his paperwork. I don't want to put it there because obviously since he was a baby, there's a lot more medical information in there. Oh, early intervention, because again, he was a baby. But I have it all here in this notebook and I keep it because I keep everything. But again, this is just to tell you, mom to mom here, yes, I am an IEP advocate and one of the best ones in the country. But I've been working on this for more than 10 years. I've been working on this since 2007, okay? So my system works. Okay, throwing that one away. Getting out the new IEP. Excuse me one second. Yes, I could restart the video, but you know what? It's me. I am who I am. And, you know, it just, it's me. So this is my current IEP organizer. Cover. If you buy it, you do get a cover page. I went out and invested, you know, 20 bucks or so. You can do it for a lot less if you go to Five Below or Dollar Tree. But I invested in a decent, strong notebook. I use the same notebook year after year. After I have an IEP meeting, I take out all that stuff and everything that you don't need from the previous year once I'm done comparing it to the current one and all that. I bind it up in a big envelope and I store it in my basement. So this is only the current stuff. I also invested in several need folders with three holes in them. And if you want to get fancy, you can. I just found these the other day. Well, not the other day because I haven't been out in a while, but these do have three holes in them. They just haven't been punched out yet. But I'm going to use these fun sparkly folders just because this is something. It's something I use all the time. I look at my child's IEP frequently. So I want it to be pleasing to the eye and I want it to look professional. You should also probably invest in some tab dividers. So again, it doesn't have to be fancy and sparkly, but if you want it to be, it can. Three ring notebook, folders, dividers. Then you need your IEP organizer, which is available on my site, adayinourshoes.com/store is where you can buy it, or you can buy it on Gumroad. I know that's a weird name. Gumroad, gumroad.com, and look for IEP planner, IEP organizer, and you'll find it on there as well. So I'll explain it to you little bit by little bit and how this makes you a better advocate. I have a student at a glance page. The reason I use that, you can put all your child's information. I find I get tired of looking for the same pieces of information over and over. So your student at a glance, it has all that information that you need and you're not constantly digging for it. Like, oh, what's our insurance policy number? It's all there. Then there's quarterly updates. The IEP planner is also devised and developed so that all of the information in your planner Once you get a planner set up, and I know it sounds like you're like, oh my God, I'm not spending hours doing this. You don't have to spend hours doing this. The initial setup takes longer, but then I'm telling you, 15 minutes a month tops. But these quarterly updates, you put on there the dates that are going to happen or the important events that are going to happen that quarter. So if your IEP meeting is coming up, if you have to renew Medicaid, if you have to renew your health plan at work, if you have to start thinking about ESY or signing up for summer camps, those kinds of things, you put that on your quarterly updates. Then you transfer those quarterly updates to whatever planner that you use day to day. For me, I use Google Calendar. I live and die by Google Calendar notifications. I mean, my phone is constantly pinging, but I have all other notifications turned off, like Facebook and all that. But I get pinged when it says IEP meeting in 60 days, stuff like that. So I transfer all the dates here into Google Calendar, and that keeps me on top of things. So you do quarterly updates. Then, if you want, there's data tracking sheets. If you keep this, we have kind of like just like every great room or family kitchen has like a junk space, and we have like this weird little space of counter, and it has a drawer and it has cabinets, and it's like where you throw all the mail. That's where I keep my IEP organizer. And then a lot of times I have to sit with Kevin for one-on-one feeding. And a lot of times when I'm sitting there with him, we go over books and we do some seat work and discrete trials and all that fun stuff. But I also keep my IEP planner there, and then I can update the quarterly updates. And once a week I can sit down and say, gee, he had a good day with this, or he didn't do that, and so on. So that's how that works. And there's a quarterly update and a calendar for monitoring or keeping track of data for every month of the year. You can use this, again, it doesn't have to be complicated. It's one little line per day. So you might just be tracking behavior or communication with your school or whatever. Did your child receive services? Maybe, tracking OT or speech has been a problem. You can just write that on here that they did or did not receive their services that time. One of the most important parts of the IEP planner is the vision statement. And that's going to be a little time consuming, but it's so important. I can't even tell you. Think of the IEP as a roadmap, right? Your IEP team is developing a roadmap for you. The vision statement is your destination. So, how do you create a roadmap if you don't know where you're going? Right? How do you know? So, sit down with your child. They should participate to the maximum extent possible, and you create your vision statement. That helps you focus your IEP. Again, it's the roadmap. You have to know where you're going. There's also an IEP meeting worksheet in there so that you can prep for your IEP meeting. There's also important calendar dates for you. Again, I move these then onto my Google Calendar. Once I have this completed, I move it to my Google Calendar and I get a notification that says parent teacher conferences are coming up, or I should start thinking about ESY, or I should have heard about ESY by now if my child is going or not. There's so much more in here. I can't even explain. Like, I have so many parent compliments on this, and I don't want to just sit here and brag about myself, but I could literally flood your email inbox with emails that I get from parents who say, thank you so much for creating this. There's also a checklist in there that helps you decide what evaluations you want to ask for. So if it's your child's reevaluation time, this is kind of like it's an advocate's brain dump list where you can look at this list that I've created and say, oh yes, I do need an evaluation in that area, and let me ask for this. There are templates. If you want to do a parent concerns letter, there's templates for that. There are 25 pages. Yes, 25 pages of IEP and 504 goal and accommodation ideas. 25 pages. So if you're thinking, like, what does my child need? And I hear that all the time from parents. What can I ask for? What should I ask for? you can sit through and browse this list and go, oh my gosh, that would be perfect for my child. Overall, I'm just telling you, I just love my blue sparkles. But I am just telling you, once you get this system in place, you will be such a better advocate for your child because you'll be organized, you'll be on time with things, you won't be rushed, you won't be caught off guard with IEP meetings and things to ask for. And you know what? It's just a three-ring binder notebook. And no matter where you get it, if you get it at Staples or Dollar Tree, many parents have told me that they felt more confident and that they just looked more professional walking in with something like this that they could flip through. There's a goal tracking worksheet in here so that you can track goals from year to year. Do you have disappearing goals on your IEP? Like they're there 1 year and all of a sudden they're gone? The goal tracking worksheet helps you monitor that. Just having that and being able to sit in an IEP meeting and open up to it and go, well, gee, last year we had a goal for this. How come that's not on this new IEP? I can't say it enough. This will just do wonders for how you're perceived by your team and just your preparation and stress and anxiety. It's just going to decrease because you're not everything's going to be last minute, day before stuff. I'm kind of judging here. I'm just going to say it. I'm kind of judging. But when parents email me or post in the Facebook group the day before a meeting and go, I have my meeting tomorrow. What should I ask for? I just want to shake you and go, come on. You don't do this the day before a meeting. You know, I try to meet people where they are at in the journey, but I'm also all about solutions. And this is your solution. There's nothing else like this on the market that's been developed by someone who is on this journey and who has been on this journey since 2007. And also I've been working advocate since 2011. And I have been to hundreds of IEP meetings. And if you're a client, I give you one of these for free. And I just can't even tell you, even the parent who was really, really struggling and said, I just can't do this. This is overwhelming. They've taken this and they're just like, thank you. Now I know what to focus on. Now I know what to ask for. Now I feel ready for my IEP meeting and I'm not going to cry at the meeting because I'm focused and I know what I want and I know what to ask for and I know how to be heard. So that's it. I can't say enough about these things. This was developed honestly out of necessity and out of my heart. I've just made it my mission that I am going to help every parent that I can understand the IEP process and be an better advocate for their child. This is one step in that process. So definitely check it out. And, you can always ask questions in our Facebook group and look at the blog, adayinourshoes.com. So thank you so much. And don't IEP alone. I almost forgot. There's a podcast. Don't IEP alone. Look for it anywhere podcasts are listed. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Don't IEP Alone with special education advocate Lisa Leitner. We're so glad you've joined us and would love to connect with you outside of the show. For more information about Lisa, the IEP Toolkit, and more ways we can help you in your process, go to adayinourshoes.com. From self-care tips to common IEP mistakes, there's even more to explore. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast and subscribe to never miss an episode. Until next time, don't IEP alone, and you don't have to.